And this morning, that safety and stability, when we look at financial institutions, there's a couple that I know that you would know. And they've got this, the way that they do their pictures, it's like a zebra. And it just looks so minimalistic. And you go, you look at the zebra and you think, oh, money, 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 stability. It's going to, like, you'll never have a financial institution or a medical aid or something that comes with graffiti and looks all rad and modern. No, it's always going to be toned colors, clinical, like calm. Because they want to create calm. They want to know, if you put your money with us, if you trust us with your health, if you're going to be okay. And they use words like resilience. And when you hear that word, it's just like, ooh, I just feel safe. They are resilient. They're resilience. They are. But then you look outside of the ad and you look to the world and you see Europe is in war. The British Isles, they all not loving one another. America, the big American dream, where's that? And you look all around you, all that you see is destruction, rebellion, death, anything but resilience. And then, if you're like me, you ask the question, God, what is your plan? What are you doing here, God? Like, surely this is a good time to come back. Surely this is a good time to show everyone that you are the great God. Strong and mighty. Eternal. But then he just doesn't say anything. And he kind of says, just carry on, Rian, with what you're doing. Carry on loving. Carry on caring. Carry on loving me, living for me. And you go, but God... So have you ever thought, what is God's plan? What is God's plan with you? What is God's plan with us? Maybe you should take a moment right here just to think. Just let the thought go. God, what is your plan? Last week, Helen spoke on, hey, we need to dream again. Like these dreams that God, we kill those dreams because we're stuck in reality. We're stuck in the things in front of us that doesn't look so great. So what is God's plan for us? And I believe it's this, at least from my perspective, okay? God's plan with all of us here is this. That those who belong to Christ have been called here for a time such as this. To be the example of his kingdom, which is everlasting, unshakable, the epitome of resilience. I believe that's God's plan. But yeah, that doesn't take us anywhere. It kind of like leaves us right here. And I go, yeah, I think that is his plan. Because if his plan was to take us out of this place, he would have done it by now. Amen? So what do we do about that? Where do we get that resilience? Where do we build it or craft it? Or is there a switch that I can flip that I can just go like, it's on? An app that can tell me. See, I think some of us do. We think, if I come to church, if I read my Bible, if I, and I'm talking about church people now. The world has got other ways that they think through the financial institutions and whatever else. Saving for your day when you're old and, you know, we're creating resilience. But within the church and within the kingdom of God, oftentimes I find with Christians and in myself, there was a time that I thought, like, if I know about God and if I know His scripture and if the more knowledge I can produce or get into this noggin of mine, the better. Because then I know. I know what God is, and I think, like, if I know what He is, then automatically, when the situation comes, I'm going to just act the right way. Who of you here has been serving God for longer than a year? Okay? Who of you in that year have not gotten mad at all? Or angry? Or maybe slipped a word or two? Do you guys read your Bible? So just knowing about God is not actually living out what we know. Amen? Scripture speaks, and it speaks of knowledge that puffs up. And we tend to forget about that. One of the things that, as a leader, that I face a lot, is people think that if I know a lot about God, then that is what qualifies me to tell other people about God. And in some ways, there's a measure of that way that is real. But knowing about God and knowing God is two completely different things. When the disciples started speaking about who Jesus is and what He has done, it's not because they read it in a book. No, they met the man. They shook hands with him. He wasn't bald. He had a beard. How do I know? He was a bit darker than me. But they met Jesus. I've met this man. I've seen how he lived. I've seen what he has done. And I want to say to you, if you think of this, this and that, I want to tell you, hey, this is Jesus. And so when they were speaking about Jesus, they were speaking because they knew the man. They knew him. We read a book and we think we know him, but we know about him. But then when we look into the world, we see that we do it a different way. A rugby player on the field. We love the Springboks. Hey? Cheslin Colby, he's a great guy. That's how we think, eh? We think he's a famous guy, he wears a band, and I don't know him, I've never met him, so please just understand that. I can't speak for his character. I can speak about how he plays rugby, and I love it. And because I love it, and I see him wearing an armband with a cross on, I go, he must be a good guy. He's my hero. But I've never met him. Never had a conversation with him. Never seen how he treats his wife. Never seen how he speaks. And we do it with rugby players. We do it with movie stars. It's like the moment they something big, we go like, oh, and they do something small that it's just giving food to something or someone or like, must be a great guy. Or you'd get these Facebook stories where a movie star says something slightly spiritual and everybody goes, ah, he's a Christian. Might be. Don't know. So we want to put people on these kind of pedestals. This is what Matthew says in 12:33. And this is for us this morning. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, How could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. An evil person produces evil things from a treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. A tree will be known by its fruit. A little bit later in Matthew, again speaks of a tree that's got good fruit. But the tree that's got bad fruit, it says that tree gets cut down. Gets thrown into the fire. So for you and for me, what does that mean? See, what I see here in the last part, it says about the words that we speak. And out of the words that we speak, it comes from where the heart is. And so if the words that we speak is evil, and it could even be evil intentions, it's because the heart is sick. It's because this tree can't produce good fruit because it's a bad tree. Amen? Now, this morning as we sit here, this is the thing that I kind of want to point us to. If the aim of God, the will of God for us is to be here in this world, and if He judges us according to what the tree looks like, then what are the things that we need to focus on while being here? Is it to preach, to learn how to preach? Is it to learn how to prophesy? Is it to learn how to be a leader? Is it to learn how to become a movie star so that we can have great influence, or a famous person that have great influence? What is it? Or is it maybe to look at my life and bring it before the Lord and say, Lord, would you come and cultivate a good tree? A good tree that's got good fruit. This is the meaning of resilience. It says this. It's like a dictionary meaning, okay? The capacity to withstand or to recover quickly from difficulties. That's resilience, okay? It's also called toughness. It's not a guy with a beard and muscles or a gun or a knife-wielding dude. It's the ability of a substance or object to spring back into shape. And there's another word for it, elasticity. Oh. So when we think of resilience and God being resilient, we can see that. We can see and we know that there's no thing that can overcome God. It's God. But if we carry what's in God in us, then something of that elasticity, something of that toughness, something of that jumping back into shape, not being affected by what's going on, should be in us. Amen? And I believe here this morning that that's the place where many of us were scared of that. We're scared of allowing ourselves to be influenced by God because previously there's places that we've been hurt and, man, I thought it's going to work out like this and it didn't work out like that. And it feels like, no. But in actual fact, you've not given time for God to work in you elasticity. Because you're just covering the whole time. And when it's going to be up to you, it is going to break. It's going to become brittle. And it's going to break. But if we give over to the Lord, if we allow Him to work in us, what the work is that happens within us is as elasticity. Because we're not functioning, if we're in Jesus, we're not functioning according to this world. No, we're functioning according to His kingdom. Amen? Do you agree with me? So let's look at that. Galatians 6 verse 14 says this. And Paul is speaking and he says this. At the end of Galatians. As for me, my eye never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified. And the world's interest in me has also died. You read that thing. That's crazy. Let's read it again. Because of that cross, my interest in the world has been crucified. And the world's interest in me has also died. Who here this morning can say that the world's interest in you has died? It's not just your interest in the world. No, it's the world's interest in you. Like Paul has given himself to such a point where he's saying, like, even the world will come to me and they realize they can do nothing. And so they'd rather leave me alone because it's a waste of energy. That's amazing. That's resilience. I mean, I want that. I want that. So let's look at that quickly. Galatians 6, verse 7. Oh, sorry. Let's skip Galatians 6, verse 7. No, let's go there. Galatians 6, verse 7. So it's a couple of verses. It says this, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay from death of that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. So it speaks here of like if you want a good tree with good fruit, sow into the Spirit. Amen? Is that how you read it? That's how I read it? But if you want to not sow into the Spirit, if you just want to go into what is sinful nature, what is flesh, what is automatic, what is all around you, what you will sow, because you're still sowing, what you will reap will be decay. Bad tree, bad fruit. If we look at resilience and says that it's the capacity to withstand, it's the capacity to bring back. It's actually that place of being submitted and living according to the Spirit of God. Do you agree with me? Resilience comes from the Spirit. And so let's look at that. Galatians 5. We're not doing a thing through the book of Galatians from the back down, I promise you. Galatians 5 verse 16 says this. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Who wants that? Keep your hand up. If you want that. So can I pray for us? Keep your hand up. We're in church. It's a good thing. Okay. Lord, we want to come this morning. And we say, God, that we absolutely want what your Spirit has to give. God, and we pray that through your Holy Spirit that you will come and help us to be able to resist and to, in some sense, crucify the world's craving on us, God, and the craving in us for the world, God, that you will cause us to be those that surrender it, that crucify it as we live, as we breathe, as we go about doing what you've called us to do. And so we trust you for your Holy Spirit. Come and work in us, God. We cannot do this by ourselves. Amen. The sinful nature wants to do evil, verse 17, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Do you ever feel like that? Like you're torn in between two things. You know what is the God thing to do and the good thing. You can feel it in your heart. But then there's this other place of, man, my mouth is dry and it needs quenching. Hey? These things are always at war. And it says that these two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation to the law of Moses. And when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild party, and other sins like this. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what is clear, and you can just keep it there. In this moment, Paul is not speaking to unbelievers. He's not speaking to the Romans. He's not speaking to people. No, he's speaking to the church of Galatia. If me and you were in Galatia at that time, we would be sitting there and we would be hearing this. And he would be saying to us, hey, you that are drunk, that are envy, you that are dividing, you that are speaking bad about your brother, you that are moaning, you that are complaining, you that are just seeing every bad thing and not recognizing the good, you are that's drinking too much, it's sleeping around, like all of you that's sitting here, this is not Jesus. And if you continue to live like this, beware to you. He was speaking to the Christians, to the me and you. And it's so easy for us to get stuck on sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, sorcery. Because those things are all out there. It's all like, we walk around and you can see, like when we went to the movies, you've got the trailers. And man, like you kind of got to sit there looking at your popcorn just, because you can't look at the screen. Because it's just sorcery and lustful things and like. But it's not all that he says. Hostility. Hostility. That's such a sneaky one. It's like you're good about your day. But man, let that one thing just go wrong. And you're like, I watch you. I'm watching you. Sorry, Ryan. And it might not be at work. It might not be church. It's usually in those places where you are tired. You haven't spent time with God, so you're feeling guilty, condemned. That's the enemy. And someone, your wife or your children, your husband, just say something. And the moment they said it, you just go, whoop, hostile. And they go, whoop, okay. Beep, 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 beep. Hostility. If hostility is in us, we might not enter the kingdom of God. It is as much a bad thing and bad fruit as what it is to play around with witchery or sexual immorality. Have you thought of that? I've got chills as I'm standing here thinking of that. Verse 22. And here comes the good news. Amen? Because there is good news. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. What do we want? We want a good tree, right? Yes, why? Because a good tree produces good fruit. Amen? The Holy Spirit produces good fruit. Amen? So, this is the good fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's amazing. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Okay? And then here's the clincher. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. So it shows us the bad fruit. It shows us who produces the good fruit and what it looks like. And then again it comes and say, but be careful. Be careful. This is what conceited means, okay? And I need you to keep a couple of strands in your hand here. We're going to connect all of them with a big bow right now, okay, just now. We spoke about knowledge that puffs up, amen? So quickly listen to this. This is what conceited means. Let us not become conceited, okay? Conceited means this: excessively proud of oneself. Narcissistic, pleased with oneself, self-loving, in love with oneself, self-admiring, self-regarding. So even as the Holy Spirit works in us and we sit under the Word of God and we follow His Spirit, there's something in us that wants to come and go, no, 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 Rian, you are the guy. You are the movie star. You are the springbok. You are the... In church, hey, I should be the leader. I should do this. Why are they not seeing? And we make life becoming something. But I look at Scripture and I see it's got nothing to do with becoming something. It's got everything to do with every day, the way that I walk. 1, 2, 3, 4. I see love, patience, gentleness, self-control. Love, patience, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness, goodness. That's what it's about. It's not about me becoming. It's about me finding that place of where the fruit of God that comes through the Holy Spirit is produced. And on that day, I become a tree. And as I'm standing, just love, patience, doing my walk, walking with the Lord, people come and they go, wow, there's love here. There's patience. His grace, His faithfulness, And guys start going, hey, guys, there's a good tree there. Good fruit. And when people start coming and they start eating of the fruit that they will be tasting would then go, hey, where does this come from? And that's when Jesus is lifted up and he's exalted because they recognize it's only him that can do it. And whoever was the tree doesn't matter anymore. Because we're here for him. We're here for his kingdom. And so what I see in this is I see that the work of God's Spirit in our lives causes us to be those that are resilient. It causes us to be those that are elastic. Why do we need to be elastic? Because the church is not for perfect people. I know you think you are. But I want to just tell you, there was a day that you were not maybe as perfect. The church is a place for the broken, the lonely, those who have no hope, those who have nothing yet over. The church is a place that welcomes them in because the church is a place that is unshakable. The church is a place that is unchanging. It's always filled with love. It's always got God's grace in it. The church is a place of resilience, of steadfastness, of safety. So those who are unsafe can run into the kingdom of God because they see something of people that are resilient. They see something of people that doesn't matter how many times you swear at them, how many times you clap them, how many times they just come back and go, are we going to love you again? We're going to help you through this. That's what God desires. But we make the church this place of where it's about titles. And people that know about God. But the church is a place for the broken. I'm not standing here preaching to you because I'm perfect. I'm probably the worst of you. But I do know this. I've tasted something of His Spirit. And no matter how much or how you feel about me, I'm going to always come back and I'm going to say, I'm going to point you towards Jesus. Because that's where I know you will find life and life forevermore. That's where you will find peace. That's where you will find that actually in His house there is space for all to come in. And so for me as Rian, and I want to encourage you, for you as who all of you are, let this be your pursuit. I say, God, help me to follow your Spirit. Because God, I need fruit and a position and a posture that always comes back to the original. And the original is how He created me. I've been bent out of shape by the world and by my choices. But as He's working in me, I'm coming back to what He is destined for me. And as I'm walking this out, no matter what I'm facing, God, if it is sickness, if it is financial difficulty, if it is whatever it is, people coming against you, unfairness, being treated unfairly, being hurt, being whatever it is, God, the one thing that I want people to come out of me is this that you have built in me, the good fruits, love, patience, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness. These are the things that I want to come out. Because at the end of the day, God is going to look at the tree and He's going to say, what kind of tree is this? Is this a tree that's got good fruit? Is this a tree that's got bad fruit? That's what I need to be focused on. So, and I'm ending off with this. Hebrews 10 says this, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promises. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and of good works. Good fruit. Let's think of ways how to motivate and encourage one another. We don't have to think of a way how to demotivate one another. How to judge, how to criticize, how to... No. Like those things come by automatic. Amen? No. But let us think of ways how to encourage one another. Because when we look at what the Spirit of God is all about, it's about encouraging us. Amen? Romans 5. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. His love. Elasticity. Hey? It's like whatever the thing is, cool. You're stretching me, you're hurting me. Whoop, I'm back. Hello, I love you. I'm back. I love you. So, church, this is the promise that God has for us. His Spirit working in us causes us to be those places of safety, the places of stability, the places of elasticity. Who wants that? I do. I'm in desperate need of it. So now, maybe we can close our eyes here. Worship team, you guys can just jump up. Matthew 7 says this, just while our eyes are closed. It says this. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you, sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? This morning we're asking and saying, Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you come and work in us? Would you come and rain down the Spirit of God, the love of God on our hearts here this morning? How much more? How much more will He give good things to those who ask?